So by education I'm a mathematician, and my talk would be quite different from mainstream of talks that we have had here. Of course, here it was also a lot of mathematics, but typically it was just the use of one or another method of, for example, statistics or clustering for study of data from brain. And I would like to speak more about some general points, some more abstract point of view to information that is processed in brain. And it would be a few parts in my talk. The first part would be philosophic, some little bit philosophy. And here I propose not discuss, because here if we start discussion, there is conferences where people discuss this many, many years, maybe even 100 years. So this I just would like to present my point of view. And then I shall go to some mathematics. And then I shall try to find some connections with neurophysiology and psychology. But here I am neither so sure that it would be so interesting for you. But in any case, there would be a mathematical part where I am totally responsible, and at least you will teach your one new domain in mathematics, so-called p-adic or non-Archimedean numbers, which people use, for example, in string theory not so long ago, 10 years ago they started to use, and in spin glasses. So the first part of my talk would be devoted to such a question. Roughly speaking, I spent a lot of time by thinking why physics was so successful in its development, why now physics is so well established science and neurosciences, okay, maybe it's point of view of mathematician or physicist, are not so well established. So for me, neurosciences look as different pieces of data, of models, and people struggle with this data without any underground model. And finally, it's also my personal point of view. If I decided that the main problem is that, or the main advantage of physics was that they succeed in formalization of their theory. And they succeed in such a way. The first step, which we typically do not pay attention in physics, but in fact it took maybe 300-400 years, they created the model of space. So they created the model of space. This is this continuum, real continuum, Euclidean space that people use in physics. And it was not so simple. It took, for example, even real numbers, they were introduced in science during 300 years, and first they were considered as some surreal numbers, ideal numbers. It was even used terminology black numbers. People accepted only natural numbers and rational numbers. So after physicists created the notion of space and created the correct mathematical model, adequate mathematical model, they were able to put in this space material objects. And after this, since Newton, they proceed very successfully. They can write the motion of point in this space. It was deterministic model. Then they were able to write Hamiltonian equations to study dynamics in phase space. But then it was observed that if we study even we are able to describe the motion of any individual particle in the gas, where the millions of particles is meaningless. So we need so-called statistical mechanics. And in statistical mechanics, we study probability distributions. And we also can write equations that describe the evolution of probability distribution. This is so-called Liouville equation. And finally, at the beginning of last century, people observed that classical statistical mechanics does not describe all probability distributions that we obtain in experiments. And they observed that there exists another kind of probabilistic calculus. This is calculus of probabilities in Hilbert space. And this was, at least at my point of view, it was quantum mechanics. So quantum mechanics was a new possibility to describe statistical ensembles of systems with very special properties. So, and if you would like to repeat such a program in cognitive sciences and neurophysiology, so our first step, and it's crucial step in fact, we should have some model of, I can say, mental space, which would be adequate to the problem. And of course, I think it's the problem of huge complexity. Many people even think that it's impossible to repeat such a program in cognitive sciences, but my conjecture is that it's possible. So we should proceed in the same way. We should try to introduce the model of mental space. After this, on mental space, try to write dynamical equations. And it's also clear that it would be meaningless to describe dynamics of any individual mental states, because in brain, at least intuitively, we feel that there should be millions and billions of mental states. So we should try to develop statistical mechanics, mechanics of ensembles of mental states. And there is also questionable, would be this statistical mechanics classical or quantum? So how would brain react to our questions? For example, one of the main characteristics of quantum probability distributions is that we observe interference. So if we study a passing of photons of electrons through two slits, there would be interference of probabilities. And at least many psychologists believe that there is similar for cognitive sciences, that there is interference of minds and so on, so that brain use a kind of quantum logic, so maybe final model would be quantum. But it's general description of the program. Now the first step is geometry of the mental space, or geometry of the or topology of the brain. And here we have long history where, roughly speaking, people tried to use usual Euclidean geometry to describe brain. So since 18th century, people studied different domains in brain. In the extreme form, it was phrenology, that different domains in brain are responsible for different psychological functions, for different mental functions. So already Pavlov and Bechterev, they wrote very long ago that we can find the place of associations in the, where formed associations in the brain. So its prefrontal cortex was from their point of view. Of course, this problem was discussed a lot, and there are people who support the idea of sharp localization of functions in brain and people who reject this idea. So there are some distributed representations. But in any case, I would like to say that the model that now is used, it's the model of brain as brain that we try to embed in usual physical space and use consideration of brain as physical body. And one of the reasons why it's maybe wrong, it's another question. In fact, I was afraid to discuss this question because this word never appeared during our semester. This is the word of consciousness. And consciousness now came back to science, and I don't know, do you know that each year there is a huge conference at, in the United States, it takes place in Tucson, in Arizona. So next year it would be in Europe, but in 1 year it would be in Tucson, in Arizona, and it's called Toward the Science of Consciousness. So people are trying to take this into account and make some models which would use consciousness in some way. I also think that this thing should be taken into account because... Mm-hmm. The story started maybe also 300 years ago, but of course we could not tell that if something is not successful up to now, it's... But in any case, my message is this comeback of consciousness to science, because before 10 years ago, if you try to speak about consciousness, people are sure that you are outside of science, that you are just some... But now there are physicists, neurophysiologists, physiologists, and psychologists who speak, and for example, there are talks, do animals have consciousness or not, and reply is positive. Some guy who studied animals...
How can you talk about this? How can you ask a question whether you have consciousness or not if you don't have a definition of what?
Yes, yes. Depending on definition, you can say dog have consciousness or not. But people try to develop scientific methodology for consciousness.
So maybe this is probably diverting you too much from
yes.
what you want to say.
Yes, 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 yes. I would not like to start a discussion about consciousness. Yeah, yeah, we can come. Yeah. Because question of consciousness is in something exciting question, and people typically excited. Yeah, at this point. Yeah, this I know from my experience. But nevertheless, at these conferences, very often discuss such a question. Typically, especially philosophers like it. Where is consciousness located? So they start and they discuss, is it in brain, is it over brain, is it flying somewhere, and so on and so on. Typically, I would like to say that this question also can be formalized only if we introduce a kind of notion of space, the space where this consciousness would be located. And why I think so? Because even if we read philosophy, if we take Kant, Kant was sure that we could not start any science before we introduce space. So if there is no space, there is no science, because he was sure that there exists no ideas which could produce human beings which do not have relation to the notion of space. So for Kant, outside of relation with space, there is no any idea. So all ideas in some way have connection with the notion of space. So therefore, if you would like to discuss such notion as consciousness, and if you would like to formalize this notion, we should introduce also the notion of mental space. And for example, in this mental space, we can try to make a kind of field model of consciousness. And here I also coming to the question, which is very often, consciousness is not the main topic of my talk. It's just one of my motivations why by myself I came to the notion of mental space. The next question that is very actively discussed is to explain the phenomenon of consciousness. So people tell, okay, we could not try consciousness. Consciousness is mystery. It's already many hundred years people are trying to explain consciousness. But I would like to say that, in fact, we could not explain anything in nature. We could only describe. So for example, can we understand what is electromagnetic field? Of course not. We do not understand electromagnetic field, but we can describe it mathematically. We have the model of space. On this space, in this model, we can write Maxwell equations. And then we can describe electromagnetic field. And this gives us the feeling that there is no mystery. So maybe consciousness would be not such a mystery if we can proceed in similar way. So if we can formalize the model of mental space, and then it would be just some structure on this space which produce some reactions that we can describe, for example, by some kind of equations. So there would be no mystery, but of course it would be no explanation in this thing. Okay, so it was a little bit philosophic discussion. That my idea was to try to repeat the program of physics in cognitive sciences. And I wanted to make some points that up to now we use usual, physical geometry for mental processes. And one of motivations could be, for example, an attempt to attract consciousness into the model. Of course, many people are strongly against consciousness. This I know, and I understood them, because it's not a formalized notion. It's too many philosophers around this. They did very bad things for 300 years. They just speak. But yeah. But on the other hand, if you work with, if you try to follow physical reductionism in cognitive sciences, I do not believe that this program would be successful, because there is some difference between neural networks that we use in engineering and neural networks that we have in brain. And I'm sure that this crucial additional element is consciousness. So the consciousness is additional element that we should introduce. If we not introduce, we still would reproduce more and more complicated networks, which in something maybe more interesting than networks in engineering, but still not cognitive networks.
So are you saying that consciousness is something beyond some state or representation by the physical neural network?
Yes. Something which could not be reduced, description. I speak about description. I speak not about, for me there is no reality as itself. There is different mathematical models by which we try to describe different phenomena. One of models is to try to describe all mental processes by using neural networks. My claim is that we need some additional element.
Well, but I'm asking in part a philosophical question, which is that given the physical material of the brain, namely the neural networks that are present there in all their glory beyond the engineering description of a neural network, but the biological neural network, that consciousness is a state of that biological neural network, or is something added on to that?
For me, there is no physical brain. There is just mathematical. Okay. So, in fact, your question it was nice question because my next slide is really about this, but in more general framework. So, we come to such point that this we felt even in string theory when we started to present periodic models of space, that many people believe in this physical space. In something, people have the feeling of reality of this space, that this is real, so brain is real, table is real, and so on and so on. I would like to say that it's not correct, of course. No, it depends what is real, but roughly speaking, in science, we work not with reality, we work with mathematical models. And there is the model of physical space, mathematical model, the mathematical model of embedding of brain in this physical space. But what is my crucial point, that the mental space is not more less real than physical. The model of mental space would not be less real than the model of physical space. These are our models. So during hundreds of years, we create such image of physical space, and here I gave the main properties of this image. So it is continuous, infinitely divisible, so we can go deeply and deeply in matter, and it goes in this way. And also important that it's ordered space, so we can order or points on straight line and tell that this point is larger than this, and so on. Then we proceed and we created Euclidean three-dimensional space, Minkowski space, and this model worked excellent in physics to describe mechanics, electromagnetism, and gravity, and many, many other things. But to tell that, for example, electromagnetic field is more real than some information field, it's from my point of view, it could be discussable and many people would reject it. But from my point of view, information flow is not less real than the flow of matter. So, and if we make special space which describe mental flows and which has no direct relation with this space, for me, it would be not a mistake, but it's, of course, philosophy. But I would like to say that this model already does not work so well in quantum physics. So it was already seen by Bohr and Heisenberg that we could not embed quantum mechanics in physical space. So now it came with Bell, with this non-locality and so on, but it's again my point of view that Bell did not say anything new, because already if you ask Heisenberg in his first letter wrote that electron does not have the orbit in atom, and we could not assign to quantum system trajectory. So, and roughly speaking, now nobody is surprised that electrons does not live in this physical space, that they live in something in Hilbert space. But of course, for people, it's Hilbert space is something not real, but physical space is real. But I would like just to illustrate that one such step has been already done. So physicists rejected, maybe not intuitively, mainly did not understand this. But if you go very deeply and if you would like to escape paradoxes, you would agree that we could not use classical three-dimensional physical space to describe quantum processes. So we need really Hilbert space.
Yeah, but wouldn't you say any measurement has a microscopic thing, and so that lies in the, what we feel as the real space, and we look at it with our own eyes and so on, so there must be some connection that is made even in theory?
There is connection, this principle of correspondence. And so if we make some principle of correspondence between mental and physical world, it would be good. But we could not reduce, in my model, we could not reduce mental to physical. Because quantum mechanics is not reduced to classical. But of course there is connection, because if it would be two completely different models, it would be meaningless to proceed in this way.
But not every space that you invent to describe
Something meaningless, not meaningless. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, you can invent spaces that make the mathematics more beautiful and simpler to work with, which nonetheless don't, which, you know, the formalism could be described in a different way, which could include that space. So you have to make a distinction between...
I agree with you, yeah. Maybe people in this institute would disagree with you because they're doing cosmology and general relativity, so huge number of different spaces, and of course it's not clear which of them correspond to real physics, but at least in some domains of science this established such framework try to play with models of space and see different features of this space and then hope to find them. But I agree with...
But in the end, this in the sense that the space is the thing that's interesting, then you have to, some principle corresponds back to something that can be observed. And in the case of the brain, something to do with
it. Yeah. Of course, without this, it would be meaningless. Yeah. But I don't think that all physical theories are so established. Because, for example, string theory to observe something. Okay. We shall not go in this discussion. So, I would like to, as I told, to go to some mental geometries. And we had already one very good model for motions of material objects. This is, as I repeat, properties of this geometry that we use in physics. It's continuous, totally ordered, and Archimedean. Which means Archimedean, I shall explain a little bit later, and one of the important points would be that I think that geometries of brain are non-Archimedean, but we shall come to this point. And as I told, that the dream is to try to repeat the program that was performed in physics, so in something to copy scientific methodology of physics to cognitive sciences, first create some model of mental space, and this space, of course, should be in some connection with physical, but not reduced. So the, for example, consciousness is not produced by brain, it's described in this space, but there should be some kind of connection. Then try to write dynamical equations, statistical dynamics, and maybe quantum dynamics, but there should be motivations why brain is quantum. So, and when I speak about, when I speak about quantum brain, there are many well-established scientists who studied this problem, but they study maybe from the point of view of your question, from the point of view of reductionism. So, for example, Roger Penrose. He's sure that brain is huge quantum computer, but its quantumness is based on these quantum particles in brain. So he is sure that the act of thinking is the collapse of superposition of two mass in one, which are in the superposition in some state, and so on. From my point of view, it's a different story. I do not want to criticize, but it's for me it would be information system which could produce interference of probabilities, which could produce quantum statistics. So it is purely mental framework. Yeah, you want to talk.
So again, I'm a little confused, but so let's start with a simpler question. So for the quantum dynamics, are you thinking of literal quantum dynamics or something that looks like quantum?
I would like to say quantum-like. Quantum-like.
All right, because I would have some serious issues.
There is no, for example, the question, which is Planck constant? It's typically first question, which is mental Planck constant. Yeah, but.
The other question is, I'm afraid it's an embarrassingly broad one. What problem are you trying to solve?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're saying you're going through the Newtonian program, and, you know, what problem are you trying to solve about the brain?
I would like to
say program and brain has absolutely no connection to it whatsoever.
Yeah, but it's your point of view, and I can accept you. So it's no problem. Yeah. The problem is for me that now there is no cognitive science in the sense of physics. So there is now a collection of some reflections, some measurements, and if you came to this, of course, people who are doing this, it's well-established business and so on. But if you come to this from physics or from mathematics, sometimes you are curious why people spend so much money, time, and so on. They measure this blinking of neurons, then they apply cluster analysis, make clusters, and then they are happy. So what is under all this? Because there is no model. It's similar as in physics, people would like to measure motion of body in one potential, then in another potential, then in the third potential, without to have underlying Newtonian mechanics. Of course, they would be happy with papers that in quadratic potential we have such motion. Then they would write the paper.
This manifesto is not true in neuroscience, right?
At least it's impression. Of course, I came from other domain. Of course, when you are doing business, you have another point of view to your business.
It's just wrong impression. Cognitive models of neurons are like, there's a fixed model which is very physical, very tested, correct model on that level. Then if you go to higher up levels of network dynamics, then there is the impactful model, which is incorrect, as we know, but it's an approximation. If you go further, then there is something which is, which we can call the machine learning or inference, physical inference, which is what's supposed to be to work at cognitive levels. And there's been a lot of work to show that that's indeed what's happening. So I agree with Brian that I don't see so far what is that absence of the model, what is the problem.
If you are happy with those models that you already have, in something you would. Okay, so you are not happy. I have never seen anybody who is happy. Okay.
Pieces of it.
Maybe you're not doing justice to yourself. So I don't know if I want to be your lawyer, but we talked about it at lunch. Perhaps you should just say what you told me is that you have some psychophysics experiments that have an outcome which looks like there is some kind of interference, and you're trying to put that data in some formalism and try to write in a compact way that interference. So if you just say that.
Yeah, this I okay. Mm-hmm. But the question is more general. In fact, the problems that we I agree that this was one of motivation. But the problems that we discuss is not only about the four. As I understood, you have doubts in the whole program. Oh, okay. Yeah, in the need, yes.
Like, so we don't have doubts. We would like to see to understand what is the problem being solved. Otherwise,
you can calls up this program.
Yeah. If this problem would. Now it's just a program. Yeah.
Maybe you should show that psychophysics data.
Regarding this question 4, I agree that we did experiments and we really observe interference of probabilities. But I would not like to be concentrated on this, because to come to this, in fact, we need not these three first steps. We just... So, because if we just want to speak about data, we can use probability distributions, and it's not so important. Is there notion of mental space and so on? Yeah.
So I guess that's sort of a practical question. So your space is, what is an element of your space?
This should be a model. This is some information state.
So you when you move from one point in your space to another, you go from one model.
Mental state, no, model would be chosen. We should find adequate model. I shall present some model, but I'm not sure that you agree.
Model of what?
Of space. You have model of Euclidean space. For example, when you describe the motion of particle, of course you do not move from one Riemannian manifold to another. You, from the beginning, tell in this situation.
So your space is the space of mental states.
Mental states, yes. 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 Yes.
Then you're gonna throw down some function.
Yes,
to,
yes,
you're
yes.
Describe how I might move from one of
the
mental
Yeah, this is the idea. Yeah. And now, of course, since they criticize the whole program, it would be maybe not so useful to proceed. But I shall proceed since it's interesting to proceed. And I would like to discuss the first how to choose the model of mental space. So what could be the nice or natural, at least for me, model.
What is an example mental state? What is an example point in that space?
Then I shall come to neurophysiological model, and it would be example how the mental states is, it's again conjecture produced by brain. So it would be sequence of zeros and ones, so we could not code, but in something, these sequences are collected in space in special way. So it would be some string of zeros and ones, of course. Yeah. And it was philosophy. So you can forget and just such ideas exist. Now this mathematics that may be interesting for you just by the reason that maybe you would use it somewhere without any relation to my program. At least people use in string theory and they are happy with this, but we shall see. So first, I would like to introduce very useful notion of non-Archimedean or ultrametric space. So what is this space and how it could be introduced very simply and very intuitively. From the school, everybody knows that if you have a triangle, then the distance between A and C is always less than the sum of distances between others. So this is triangle inequality. And this is very nice geometries, for example, Euclidean geometry, but there exist other geometries where instead of this inequality, we have so-called strong triangle inequality. So in each triangle, the third side is less than maximum of two other sides. So this is the definition of ultrametric or non-Archimedean metric space. So if in metric space we observe that in triangle third side is less than two others, then this is so-called ultrametric space. And of course, such inequality imply very interesting consequence that in every triangle two sides should be equal. So this is the geometry of such triangles. What is good in this geometry, that all such spaces can be represented as trees. So, roughly speaking, my idea is that mental space should have the structure of tree. So it was from the beginning that arise in discussions with psychologists who tell me that the main difference between physical information and cognitive is that cognitive information has very sharp hierarchical structure. This question I also discuss here, and there are two completely opposite opinions. So some people told that there is no so important thing in hierarchy. Other people accepted my point of view that hierarchy is of crucial importance in description of mental information.
What, I understand what is it. Physical information, I can follow Shannon Boltzmann, whatever, and find out what is the mental information of cognition.
It would be just strings of zeros and ones. So I would not like to use Shannon notion of information because it's also, I think, irrelevant to this point. And many people discuss this notion and they are sure that it's wrong to try to use in cognitive sciences Shannon information. For example, the student of David Bohm, Basil Hailey, he wrote a book about active information where he criticized this use and so on. So for us, it's string of zeros and ones that could interact with another string of zeros and ones, and that, as for example, to material bodies, they could be in some contact, some interactions, and they can move different trajectories and so on and so on. So the simplest example of ultrametric tree is so-called two-adic tree. It's the most simple that we can imagine. This tree has such a structure. There is a root, and then we can go in every direction, but from each vertex there goes two branches. In this, in this, in this, in this, and we get such homogeneous tree, and in mathematical model it's infinitely long. The branches goes infinitely long. And now the points of mental space are not vertexes, but the whole branches. So whole infinite branches are points of this space. Of course, in physical model you can make cutoff and consider finite tree. So this is space of points of this tree. Now we can encode.
Are those branches, do they separate? Or
we choose some and goes and then here, 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 and
they can't
on tree there are no cycles. So this is a crucial, maybe critical remark against this model, but I can say that this is just some toy model. Now we can encode these branches by sequences of zeros and ones, by sequences of zeros and ones. We go through branch and write zeros and ones. And then we can introduce metric on this tree, which has the such very intuitive form, and it could be defined in such a way. If you have two branches, X and Y, then we should follow this branch and measure the length of the common root. So we measure how many steps they are together, and then he is splitting. We find the L, length of this common root, and then we define the distance as 1 over 2 in the degree, the length of the common root. So if two branches have very long common roots, they are very close on this tree. If they split very quickly at the beginning, if they split at the beginning, then they are far away from each other. So this is a two-adic, so-called two-adic tree, and this is two-adic geometry. On this tree, we can test that it's ultrametric, that there is strong triangle inequality. And if we operate with sequences, then to find the distance, we should do the following. We go through sequences until we find the first element which is different in these sequences. So, for example, the beginning 0, 0, 0, here 1, and here 0, 0, 0, and still 1. So this is the difference. Then we calculate L, and then we find the distance. Yeah? So this is such a tree. And the most important thing for me is that on this tree there is hierarchy. That this point is most important, this is less important, and so on and so on. So when we measure distance between two branches, for us is important only those digits that are near this, the most important point. So we can forget about these digits that are far from. So only digits that are here, they are important. And I would like to compare with the metric, of course, on the sequence of zeros and ones, there could be introduced different metrics, and one of them is well-known Hamming metric. And it would be different from this because in this case we should write such a sum. So for Hamming metric, is important in how many places they are different. For this metric is only important the coincidence of digits at the beginning. So these are two different metrics on the same space. Yeah, and it's again, maybe people do not like that there are too many general sentences without concreteness, but you could see that I'm a mathematician and moreover I'm Soviet mathematician. For us it was not important to solve concrete problem, but formulate general framework and then you could solve problems. And
identifying metric like that, I just knew this sequence of zeros and ones as a binary expansion of some real number. And the metric, usually Abelian metric, would be that the distance between two branches is, again, a very hierarchical thing, right? It would be the mismatch in the particular branch.
Yeah, in something it would be with weights. And it would be not ultrametric.
Yeah, but then, trying to think about this, doesn't really make that much difference whether the.
It's totally different mathematics, real and this periodic.
I understand, but why did this have this much? I understand. Mm-hmm. But in physics, we are sort of accustomed to the fact that anything that happens at small scale, those tiny things, they would be irrelevant if you look at larger scale, universal properties, normalization group, etc., etc., etc. So your definition is different. These periodic numbers are different from real numbers in how you deal with very small differences. Right?
Not exactly, because in real case, if you use toadic toadic expansion, we should identify such numbers. They would be totally different in periodic case. It's also different ways to represent information. So this, if you use decimal, it would be just 999. It would give us one. But in the decimal, I would like to say that in the decimal expansion, such a number is the same as 9. Yeah, but in periodics it would be two completely different states, and it's clear on the tree these are two completely different branches. So real segment could not be imaged on the tree. So it's not tree. It's not tree. Yeah.
Is it physically a good thing to make such models? Because again, I somehow believe that if I move one electron in a neuron, it shouldn't change the state of what my thoughts currently are.
You're talking about neurons. This is mathematics,
right? No, we speak about the possibility to apply.
If you want to apply mathematics to neurons, then you will have to think somewhat further, right? And so what I'm asking is,
this is in the space of mental states, right?
Yeah.
You can't talk about moving electron near a neuron and compare it to the state of mental states, which is like something about the properties of the whole brain, right?
You became my supporter. Yes, I did not feel. Yes, I did not understand. You try just to.
I love your detractors for this question.
Yeah. Okay. So for me, this is merely the way to encode hierarchy by topology. So for me, it's the main important thing that there is a tree with hierarchy. Roughly speaking, I can forget about hierarchy, about tree, and after this work in ultrametric space. So For me, ultrametric analysis is a kind of analysis which on each step, when we apply a map, when we write differential equation, would fill hierarchy. Yeah?
So what is one of these sequences in terms of a mental state? Is it, because it's a whole sequence of states, right?
Yeah. No, if you, okay, we come for a moment to neurophysiological model, would not discuss it at the moment, and then come back. So in the model, we would like to make such a model that if you take a hierarchical sequence of neurons, so this is the most important, in Moscow people like the notion of grandmother neuron, but in many places people dislike, but at least some both, and then some that do not have such importance, then the state of this chain would be just the branch of this tree. So if you want, in the brain it would be non-local representation of information by neural pathways. So we should choose in brain all neural pathways who have the boss. In each pathway there is a boss. Of course, this boss can depend on the cognitive task. So for one task, this is boss, for another is boss, and so on. And then the mental space produced by these neural pathways would be a tree. So there is connection with physical world. So of course at the beginning I was a little bit aggressive, but for me mental space is introduced independently, but connection should be so.
It's not clear that it would be a tree with sort of fixed branching ratio or something.
Of course it could be not fixed in real brain, yeah. But as toy model we can use even coding 0 and 1, firing, non-firing. But of course, we can use also frequency encoding, and we can assign to each neuron the frequency of its firings. But, and it such chain of frequencies would give us mental state.
So what do you mean by the arrows connecting these dots?
It's just hierarchical arrow. So that this functionally is the most important in this pathway.
So this is not describing real neural network.
It could be even this, but in general, I do not claim this. So for me, it's important functional hierarchy. And it could be even not only one neuron, it could be a group of neurons, which I call it boss. These are less important group, these are less important. Because for encoding of states, we can use not only zeros and ones, but for example, we can...
You can have different parts of
yeah. Yeah.
Modality.
Yeah.
As these dots.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. Will every neuron in the brain eventually appear in this hierarchy?
No. In general model, of course, we should say that in principle, any neuron is in some. Of course, they are not all neurons are connected in some even functional hierarchy. There could be different blocks that are responsible for different functions. But even in the same block, for different tasks, they could choose one boss, for another task, another boss. And for example, at one period of time, this will be boss. For me, it's similar as choice of system of coordinates in physics.
OK, so you're saying that there's something which chooses the boss, which is different from just when they're firing. Because there's some subset which are firing.
It's functional. It's functional importance.
Okay, so it's something that's defined outside that area.
Yeah, yeah. It's how the brain performs tasks. Yeah, yeah.
So is it important in this model that there is no mental feedback in this picture, right?
Mental feedback.
I mean, there's no recurrency in your trees.
No recurrence. Yes.
Is that troublesome?
But of course, it's. I can say that this is just simple model. Let us imagine very simple system which work in such a way.
Well, there's no time here, is there?
Time is.
It doesn't have to be time, right? Just the idea that something down the hierarchy could influence something up the hierarchy, or something like that.
No. In principle, we can do this. Something open loop. We can repeat loops just few times. For example, if there are such thing this is boss.
Well, I'm thinking about to understand your question.
Yeah.
Understand. So my sense of this is that these are some states, maybe they're state of firing, as you described it.
Yeah, maybe in simplest model, yes, no. Yeah.
You know, or activation of some brain area, whatever, and at some
the scale of time was very important for my model. So what is
so,
the...
So my sense was that, you know, the dynamics of going from...
For example, one chain of blinking to another chain of blinking.
So the question of can you... Well, maybe it's still not a chain, but my sense is that this chain of hierarchy of you could end up with the same chain later in time through a dynamic change of this.
I agree with you. It could be another chain. So we should consider ensemble of chains. Yeah.
Right, but there could be a dynamics of.
Yeah, and chain. I do this by using probability distribution. So final in my model is probability distribution on such chains.
Which could be a form of. In a sense, a feedback.
Yeah, and then I write just diffusion equation for this probability distribution. And my final model is each propagation of, I can say, mental state is propagation of probability distribution on such hierarchical chains of blinking. I do not reject that there could be dynamics on the level of individual chains, but I say that it's meaningless, as in statistical mechanics we need probability distribution. I think I study a lot of dynamics for individual chains, functions and so on. But because dynamics would be not for chain, it would be for mental state. And mental state is already not in brain, in mental space. We need not that it should be produced by the same chain. It would be just evolution of...
So then I'm still confused on what this chain is, because my sense is that this chain is something, you know, the description of the mental state.
Mental state is the product of this chain in some instant of time.
Right, so you have a chain in instant of time, that's your mental state.
Yeah.
Right?
And then not chain, the result of its blinking state.
The result of its what? It's blinking. That is whether the alphas. All right. No, I was thinking of that as...
Yeah, this is state.
The alphas have
yeah,
value.
This is state.
Right. And then... The dynamics of that
is dynamics of this.
You're saying
chains.
You don't consider the dynamics of those.
You would like
dynamics in the system. First question.
Dynamics is here, which I try to describe. I do not try to describe dynamics here.
Wait, what did you just do?
Because my map would be the map on the space of states. I can forget that, as I thought, physical brain exists.
So the dynamics of the blinking.
Dynamics of blinkings, yeah.
Is
yeah.
You consider not the transformation of mental states to one another.
It's transformation from one to another.
Yeah.
We can write dynamical. We can write dynamical system.
Different states within a particular chain, but then a different chain, one type of chain to a different type of chain, is not.
Two different chains can produce the same mental state at the same instant of time. Maybe it's replied to your question. Yeah, you ask about this, as I understood.
Well, you start with a different. So you have a central grandmother cell here for one.
Yeah,
you have a different cell, a different hierarchy for a different.
For one grandmother. So, roughly speaking, for one grandmother, we even can introduce each goal here. It's just extend the tree. But there could be another chain which is related to the same grandmother. And this chain at the same instant of time would produce another mental state.
Right. And then when I'm thinking about what this chain represents, and then looking out the window, my state changes.
The state would be probability distribution on all sequences.
So you don't describe the dynamics of these changes.
Yes, image is not blinking of one fixed chain. Right. It's probability distribution of states on states which are produced by the whole this graph.
Right. Okay. There's something
that
down the road, but continue. Sorry.
I understand what. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's clear what this feedback thing could mean. I don't know.
Okay. So now we go back. We go to back to grounds which are more simple for me. As we discussed, we can consider the trees much more general. So the tree where from each, these are so-called p-adic trees. And if you hear about so-called p-adic numbers, which use people in string theory, this is just instead of real lines, they consider such a tree. P is fixed natural number. Even better, prime number, but prime is not important for us. It's important for string theories. And from each vertex, there go p different branches. And the infinitely long branches of this tree are...
Sorry, can I just ask? So if you have a particular assignment to each of the alphas, okay, then that defines the actual state of all of the neurons.
Yeah.
So
some subset of it, though.
No, for all the alpha.
If you assign either 0 to p minus 1 to each alpha, and then this completely characterizes the physical state of the neurons.
No, this is 0, 1, yes. For single neuron, this is the all which we can extract from this neuron. Yes, for single, this is total characterization.
Okay. But that yet doesn't define the hierarchy.
No, of course. Hierarchy coming from outside.
So is there something in the physical world which defines the hierarchy, or is it something that you just...
No, if you speak with these people who work with in 50s and in 60s, which I spoke in Moscow, of course they tell you that if you feel the smell, there is grandmother neuron that is responsible for each concrete smell, and then for them it was no problem that there's always one boss for cognitive task.
Right, but... when you smell something, then inside the brain itself knows that the smell is being
smelled. The brain by himself knows who is the boss at this moment.
Which means that it's somehow encoded in the firings of neurons or something like this in the brain, you would expect.
I expect this.
Which would mean that the hierarchy itself should be encoded.
In brain. But of course, I do not know how this hierarchy is. It's the main question that you ask all people in private discussions here.
Okay.
How you choose the boss in neural pathway. Of course, this hypothesis could be wrong, even this basic step, that in neural pathways there are no bosses, and then this tree model is meaningless.
What's the definition of a p-adic number?
You can say that this is such sequence of zeros and ones with this hierarchical structure, or if you want really number, the number can be how we define, which is amazing, on this tree we can define arithmetics. We can do the same as on the real line. We can multiply branches, divide, and so on. And this sequence of zeros and ones is represented by such a p-adic number. This is x, which is such infinite series.
But it's not zeros and ones, right?
There is p. They are between. This is p-adic. They are between. So it's alpha n. P in the degree n. If 0 is 1, it would be 2. In general case, it would be this P. P where they are between. So this number. So they, of course, it's meaningless from usual analysis, there is P in the degree n, but it's converged in this strange topology. Because in this strange topology, those who are far from, they are not important. Important only first guys around both.
But, so what people call a p-adic number?
This number. It's p-adic number.
Is the string?
The number is this number, but it's geometric representation, what you call real number. the sum or the sequence of zeros and ones.
Why do you say zeros and ones? Isn't it
the same? No, I just on the first model concentrated of P. Of, yeah.
Then,
for P2, yeah.
Okay, but over there the alphas now are really zeros and ones.
No. It's this, this ones. No, it's in usual expansion of real number on the sum basis P. So if you expand real number with respect to the basis P, you would get similar, but here would be minus. Because for real, the most important guys are those last, not first. So this is the correct answer. This is periodic number. So not this is geometric representation, and this is number. Then you can work with these numbers as much as you want. You can write differential equations and so on and so on, but they are very different. So dynamics, if you consider dynamical system, this is this dynamics of individual states, which in fact we can consider. So these are iterations. We have one string of blinkings, and it's produced a new string. And F is the map from the tree into the tree. So roughly speaking, in such a model, if we work on the level of individual states, dynamics is described by this map. And yesterday we discussed with Ilya what is the difference between, I can say, usual Hopfield neural network and, if you can say, such dynamical network, how they would distinguish images. So to distinguish image in Hopfield network, there should be quite many places where they are different. In this periodic network, only first places should be different. So for example, they could be practically identical. So this periodic network very sensitive only to first digits in the encoding of image, not to all. We even did this for image recognition, and for image recognition, this neural networks, they work essentially quicker than usual, I can say, real networks. So unfortunately, we could not sell this program because now the speed is not the most important, because people develop such good methods of image to work with images that the speed of processing on the primary level was not of the greatest importance. But in any case, to distinguish image, of course, not precisely, but with some approximation, by looking only to first digits, it's essentially more quick procedure than to distinguish image by looking to all digits. And moreover, there is a very nice possibility to learn, to understand how many first digits are important for some class of images. So for we made such programs that for one class of images, it could look just for three first digits. For another class of images, it's need 10. But in any case, it's if this image very long, few thousands, it's save a lot of time. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, answer my question.
Yeah. So this is mathematics, and I like it. So maybe last picture, how looks balls on this tree? So what is an analog of a ball on this tree? So ball look quite strange. So it's we should take some path, some common root, and then we take all that go here. So this is the ball on this tree. And these balls have very strange properties. First of all, every point of the ball can be chosen as its center. So ball is symmetric with respect to any point in this ball. Another interesting property that was attractive for models in statistical physics, that if we take two balls in Euclidean space, there can be such pictures. Intersection is empty, such picture, or one ball is inside another. In periodic case, this is forbidden. So they are all always or disjoint, or one is inside another. So this is such property of periodic balls. So it's as geometry is really very different geometry. So.
And this is an assertion about mental states at the same time.
Yeah.
So it means that you can't attend to two things at once.
I would like to say, A, the two things are in hierarchical relations with each other, or they are unrelated.
And you can never conceive of the overlap.
I can conceive only if I consider larger ball. Okay, no, even in larger ball, there would not be in any relation between each other. Yes, they would be in relation with larger ball.
That's a little disturbing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't seem right, because certainly you can imagine low, so map these sort of higher level trees to structures and say the visual scene, you can certainly imagine low order structures kind of overlapping, but being part of two very different.
They are connected, but they are connected through through larger ball. We can say that larger ball is common association for them. In something, this root is common association for this ball and this ball. So they're related. They're related.
The mental state is not complete. You don't have a complete description of the mental state without the root.
Yeah.
So.
They are all connected through roots. They are connected. So maybe it's wrong impression from this geometric property. So on the individual level, they are of course connected through roots. Okay, so it was this geometry. And now what I would like to say more. More I would not like to say so much. First of all, of course, we can study dynamics on the individual level of such dynamical systems. And here we did a lot in pure mathematics. So recently we wrote a book on periodic dynamical systems. And here we can study very simple dynamical systems from mathematical point of view, but not clear what is the relation to real cognitive sciences. For example, here we can consider polynomial on the tree, x squared. We can multiply branches, and we can find attractors, and so on and so on. It was mathematics. Then, as I told, we can consider on the space of all the strings probability distribution and differential equations for these distributions. And this would be, for me, non-local mental state would be this probability distribution. So, and this is this model, and I tried to speak with many neurophysiologists, and typically I was stopped at the first step because they told that it is impossible to make any measurement for long pathway in real time to measure blinking along, for example, thousands of neurons and determine that one of them is both and collect statistics and then make probability distribution not for single neurons, but for huge chains of neurons. Therefore, I was so interested in these cultural structures for neurons, since you claim that you can measure all trajectories and all blinkings throughout this cultural structure. So, roughly speaking, we can collect the data and look, does really some image is encoded by some probability distribution on chains of blinkings? But here, of course, should be determined hierarchical structure, that some things are bosses in this model.
The hierarchy is defined by the task. Like, say, the
hierarchy is defined by the task. Yes.
A particular hierarchy, say, for example, thinking about a grandmother mm-hmm. or something, and then the different periodic numbers that are inside this tree. This is your grandmother or.
They all together produce probability distribution, which give you feeling of your grandmother. So your grandmother is probability distribution on all these chains of blinkings, if you go to fantasy. And.
Okay, but the one at the top is more probably on the
node. It's really more responsible for grandmother. Yeah.
Okay, but
grandmother, if you just follow this guy from 50s, grandmother would be just this one neuron.
Right. So then the probability distribution to say that you actually are thinking about your grandmother is enormously skewed towards the right of this, if this is a binary tree, in the sense that all the probabilities on the right where the neurons are on, rather than on the left.
It could be concentrated even on one tree. Probability distribution could be concentrated in one point.
Right, but presumably if these are the neurons which you say they're firing when your grandmother is on, then you want those to be on if you're thinking about your grandmother.
Yeah.
So you want all the probability to be on the right-hand side of the tree.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was just kind of curious, when you were thinking about, you know, what sort of formalism should describe the brain, what kind of program should you bring, how did you settle on this? That is, this description of mental processes is dynamics on this tree. What makes you think that's the right way to go?
I want to mention some kind of experiment which you mentioned.
But it's not related to this. It's related to complete the last step of my model, which should be quantum mechanics. But we are far beyond of this problem. So now we discuss should we use classical statistical mechanics on the final step or quantum? We discuss the model, the primitive level. Yeah. So it would be not the answer. Yeah. And I came to this from purely mathematical point of view, which I started to analyze which kind of geometries used in physics, and could they be used in cognitive sciences or not.
But there's a huge number of potential geometries, right?
They are not so huge. For example, now I formulate you one very interesting theorem. If you start from some structure where you would like to have algebra and topology, and if you want to use natural and rational numbers, then roughly speaking, there are only two possibilities: real numbers or periodic. This is so-called Ostrovsky theorem. So if you start with rational numbers and would like to complete rational numbers to get possibility to make arithmetics and to have topology, then there are only two possibilities.
Yeah, but that's not really what you're trying to do, is it? To have an algebra and a topology. You're trying to describe something about the neural.
I would like to,
right?
Yes.
Which may not
Of course. But in this case, I shall answer you. Maybe this is just toy model. Maybe geometries of real mental worlds are much more complicated.
No, but it does come to the question of what was
You have two choices: to use the same geometry as people use in physics, or use one of periodic geometries.
So I'm trying to understand why I did the choice?
Because I am not sure that real continuous geometry could be used in cognitive sciences. First bad thing: real numbers are totally ordered. For any two numbers, you can say this is larger, this is smaller. I do not believe that we have for mental states, that all your mental states you can make that they are in totally ordered structure. The second thing that I dislike, that real numbers are continuous, that between any two points there is another. I do not believe that mental states are continuous, that there is discreteness. So I rejected real numbers. I say that if we try to describe brain as here in this physical world, as embedded here, we do not use correct geometry. Then I had only this choice, to use periodic numbers. And then I was surprised that they have structure of tree. When I started, I worked just in arithmetics. And they have the structure of tree. Then I spoke with psychologists. Psychologists are much less educated typically in mathematics, say, could not understand this, but they tell, tree is very good, because we know that all states are in hierarchical structure.
What is the statement that they're making?
The statement that cognitive information is hierarchical information.
And
hierarchy plays the most important role to distinguish information, I can say, of non-living system and information of cognitive systems.
And the hierarchy is a system. I mean, how do they describe it?
Hierarchy is hierarchy.
Hierarchy of what?
Hierarchy of tasks, hierarchy of behavior. They do not work on the level of neurons.
Visual system is some sense hierarchical, right?
I
can think of many examples.
But psychologists, of course, do not.
It's consciousness,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I don't know.
Of course, psychologists do not have such neuronal hierarchies for visual system. They mainly have hierarchy when you perform your tasks, when you perform your some actions, and so on. Mm-hmm.
Do you see this principally as an explanatory exercise to help interpret function, or do you actually envisage in the long term making predictions about introspective behavior?
No, I cannot answer. Maybe, yeah.
So principally, it's descriptive, right?
Yeah, it's descriptive. Yeah. It's descriptive. Yeah, it's clear.
There was a strange paper in the 1960s, I think, by Chris Seaman and Tim Postlin on tolerance structures, which I think was overtaken by Zadeh on fuzzy spaces, and of course, Zadeh's work plastic into a industry. Even so, he actually tried to tackle the problem in a different way. That is, by recognizing the fact that sometimes it's very difficult to distinguish between the two states. And wonder whether in this framework, the discreteness actually might cause problems. That is, it doesn't allow you to be a little bit uncertain about the distinguishability of two states. Does that make sense?
Yeah, this makes sense. This makes sense, yeah.
That's more the metric on the space that's talking
about. This will omit metrics or tolerance structures.
Yes, of course, here is metric structure.
So,
but it's. For example, if we recognize the image, we use just this precision with respect to metric, and if the epsilon is less than something, it tells us we cannot recognize the difference.
I guess what I'm more trying to get at is. At what level does this discreteness actually determine the properties of the system?
No, I think it's appear on this level of this chains of blinking. This here is discreteness. There is no continuity.
I mean, it's possible that, as you were saying before, that the thing that's represented along the chain is not individual neurons, but say. I actually think fMRI people would probably might be interested in this stuff because the large scale blinkings, right? And it could be that, you know, that already is an average quantity and, you know, possibly a representation in terms of the lighting up of different brain centers during different tasks would be less affected by the discreteness of the representation. I think at this level, there's no like real description of what it is that's making. It could be the level of a single neuron, so the way you described it, but it could be.
But the first idea on the single neuron, so it's the most.
Right. I actually think that that's probably not what you want to do, but.
Okay, so thank you. If you somebody wants, I have few papers you can try to read. Thank you.